Matthew chapter 7 is where we're at. Matthew 7. Wow. Thank you, Amanda. That's nice. Very nice. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. So this is the kind of the last part of the Lord Jesus Christ talking about false prophets, and I'm going to describe some people who are impersonating Christians, and we'll read the verses and then I'll talk to you about it. Matthew 7:21 says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." That kind of sounds like you got to do something, but we'll explain it in a minute. "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." That's pretty scathing rebuke, and that's got to be a shock. I mean, people who have been, they at least have convinced themselves they've been doing these great things in God's name, and then now here standing before the Lord and he doesn't even know who they are. What a shock. Joel Osteen. Yeah. Let's pray and talk about impersonating Christians here and describe the circumstances of what's going on. Father, thank you for these words. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you for words that we can trust and all the voices in this world. Lord, I'm thankful. And I know several others here are thankful that we've got your words that we can rest our life and our soul on. Father, thank you for the truth. I pray this morning that you'd help us understand these words. I pray for the teachers in the back that you would fill them with your Holy Spirit to minister your words to the kids. And Father, if there's anybody here that's not saved, we know it's your desire that every soul would be saved. And I pray today that understand their need for Jesus Christ, understand their sin before you, and understand how to get that sin paid for and forgiven in Jesus Christ. And I pray that would be abundantly clear for those that are saved, who trusted Jesus Christ. I pray you'd feed your flock and help us this morning. We need your help, and I need your help. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. And he will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." It is against the law to impersonate an officer, police officer. It's against the law to impersonate anyone with state authority and pretend like you have state authority when you don't, and use that to your advantage. And so this is kind of the same thing, where people in this life go around, and Jesus Christ is warning, he warned against false prophets, he's warning about folks who use the name of the Lord to promote, to do things that are to their benefit, and really have convinced themselves that what they're doing is the work of God, instead of allowing God to do work through them. There's a difference between a person doing good things just on their own and then claiming it to be God's work, as opposed to allowing God to actually work through them to accomplish good things. And so hopefully that will become more clear here, but let's just look at the warning. So not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord. And this is going to end the Lord Jesus Christ teaching about false prophets. These people have been using the name of the Lord without the Lord's permission. Just like impersonating a police officer, impersonating a state official. They're impersonating children of God. They're impersonating God's people and using the name of the Lord just like a person would use the power of the state to, pretend like they're something they're not. And so they're impersonating ministers of Jesus Christ. And so he says this, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Okay. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. So again, he's talking about entrance into Jesus Christ's kingdom. We got kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God. We're not going to go through all that this morning. This is the physical return of Jesus Christ. And he says, not everyone that said, Lord, Lord, is going to enter into that kingdom. So he describes how you enter it. Verse 21, he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. So that sounds like, if you just read this without any other verses or anything, it sounds like, okay, well, he says you're going to have to do something in order to make it into this kingdom. And he then goes on to describe all these marvelous things that people do, and they don't make it. So it's kind of, so what is the will of God? What is he trying to say? Everyone that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Let me show you a couple of verses about the will of God. All right, so let's see. Look over in John chapter 6. John chapter 6 and verse 29. John chapter 6 and verse 29. Two verses in John chapter 6 that describe what the Father is trying to do and accomplish through Jesus Christ the Son. All right, John chapter 6, verse 29. What's the will of God? Here's part of it. He says, Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye do what? Believe on him whom he has sent. All right, so that's the marvelous work that God the Father is trying to get accomplished in Jesus Christ. He wants people, lost sinners, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at it more specifically in verse 40, same chapter, John 6, verse 40. Remember he said in Matthew 7, everyone that does the will of the Father will gain entrance. So what is the will? What's the will of God here? John 6, 40. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Everyone seeth Jesus Christ and believeth on him. God's will is you'll believe on Jesus Christ, and then God will then give those sinners eternal life, everlasting life. All right, so that's the extent. That's what he's trying to get to. In fact, the whole book of John, he says he wrote the book of John for the purpose that you would believe on the name of the Son of God, believe on Jesus Christ. So entrance into this kingdom is not by doing marvelous works. It's by believing on Jesus Christ. All right, got that? So that's simple cross-reference here. All right, go back over to Matthew and see something else about this entrance. Matthew 7. But I tell you what, look over to Matthew 5, something we've looked at a little bit before here. Matthew chapter 5, verse 20, just to remind you. Entrance into the kingdom of heaven, entrance into Jesus Christ's kingdom is by faith in Jesus Christ. And here's one of the requirements. Matthew 5:20. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Well, that's pretty tough. I mean, here's, so if you just read these verses, here's Jesus Christ saying, you can't have entrance into this kingdom without righteousness. More specifically, God's righteousness. You can't have entrance into this kingdom. And then he goes and describes these people in Matthew 7:21 who are doing all these things that seem like righteousness. They're doing these marvelous works, casting out devils and things like that. And then Jesus Christ shockingly says, I don't even know who you are. So what does he mean by having righteousness? Well, you guys, I think most of you know what he means by having righteousness. When you trust Jesus Christ, God gives you the righteousness of God. There is no work you can do. There is no law that says, if you do this, then I'll give you eternal life. There's nothing like that under Moses. There is righteousness in Jesus Christ, and that is the only righteousness sufficient to meet God's standards and to have a man standing before God. I'll give you the whole scenario here before we move on real quickly. So before Jesus Christ, there is no man that can stand before God. Remember Jesus Christ, before he becomes a man, he's the Word in heaven, and then he is given a body in the form of a man. He's given a man's body in order to live as a man. And the reason he does that is so that God will have a man as a representative of mankind. Because before that, he has no representative of mankind. He has some angels around him. He's got cherubim around him. He's got all these other heavenly creatures around him. But man has no representation before God until Jesus Christ. So in Jesus Christ is righteousness. So when the Lord Jesus Christ says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 20, and he says, look, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of these religious people, you can't make it into heaven. And he's not saying you need to act more righteous. He's saying, he's pointing to himself. He's going to be pointing to himself. His righteousness is sufficient. His righteousness is greater than these Pharisees and all that stuff. So entrance into this kingdom is by righteousness. And righteousness, according to the Bible, comes by faith. It comes by faith. All right, here's another one. How do you enter into this kingdom and enter into the kingdom of Jesus Christ, enter into the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, both those things. I understand there's some difference, but that's not what we're talking about here. Look over in Matthew chapter 18. Here's another description of entrance into this kingdom. Matthew 18. Over and over describing entrance into this kingdom. All right, Matthew chapter 18. And verse 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. All right, so two things. You got entrance, and then you got great and less and things like that. So verse 3 describes this. And he said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. So that describes the entrance, becoming as a little child. So I've heard this said, and he does mention humility there, but that's something, not entrance. That has to do with greatness and things like that. But entrance is described by a conversion as a little child, becoming as a little child. So I've heard people say, okay, well, then you have to become like innocent like a little child. Okay, well, it's too late for that. Okay, so that doesn't work. You can't. You're not innocent anymore. So what does he mean by becoming a little child? Is there any other place in the Bible where he describes someone becoming a little child again? John chapter 3. Look over in John chapter 3 real quick. You guys know this verse. John chapter 3. Even before that one, Doc, before 16. Entrance is by conversion to little children, becoming like a little child. John chapter 3, verse 2. Verse 1. Nah, just go back to Genesis. No, just kidding. John chapter 3, 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews. Same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be what? Born again. You know what he just said? You got to become a child. That's what Jesus Christ said in Matthew 19 or 18. Except you be born again, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. All right, for the new birth, when he says, except that you be born of water and of the Spirit, the new birth, and I know most of you know understand this, the new birth is not a baptism in water. All right? It's a spiritual birth. You don't see the transaction. You believe what God said about Jesus Christ. You trust Jesus Christ to be your righteousness. And there is a spiritual birth that occurs that you don't see. Now, when he says whatsoever is born of water and born of spirit and all that stuff, simply saying, when you were born the first time, your mom's water broke and you were born of water. This isn't a baptism. This isn't otherwise he would have said, unless you're baptized in water, then. But he didn't say that. He's talking about a birth in water. So it's the first birth. And then a second birth, a spiritual birth. So I think most of you understand that, but just to clarify, entrance into this kingdom, Jesus Christ is describing the same entrance in multiple different ways. Righteousness, a new birth, all of these things are describing the same events. They're describing what God is doing in Jesus Christ and what he expects of man because of what he's done in Jesus Christ. And so they're all coming at this from a different angle, I guess you could say. So he says, except you be converted to little children, and then he describes it in John 3. This is a person, this is an old man, this is an old woman, this is a young man, a young woman, this is a teenager becoming a little child now. That's a new birth. A new child. You're a baby now. You're a new child. All right. Let's show it to you again here. Galatians. Let's see. Yeah. Look in Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, there's so many here. Yeah, right. Look in verse 5. It says, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. There's a new birth there. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. There's so many. I'm not going to keep going. I'll stop there. He says later on, he'll talk about you are sons of God by faith in Jesus Christ. All right, so all of these things describe entrance into Christ's kingdom, our entrance into Jesus Christ. This is how you get in. He's the door. And he's not the door just for some, he's the door for everybody. All right, so entrance into Jesus Christ's kingdom. Here's one more time in Matthew. Look over in Matthew chapter 19. One more description of this. Matthew 19 and verse 23. Matthew 19:23 says, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." So you got both of them there. "When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Who then can be saved?" Meaning it's impossible for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. That's impossible. And it's not, I know for some of these commentators, you guys say, well, the eye of the needle was this gate, and you know the gate was very small and it was tough to get the camels through. No, you know what an eye of a needle is. And you know camels don't fit in the eyes of needles. It's very simple. It's not complicated. Look in verse 26. "But Jesus beheld them." Remember, their question is, who then can be saved? Right? Who then can be saved? Verse 26, "But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." So salvation is a work of God. Your requirement is, I trust what God did, and then God does the rest of this work that needs to be done. I can't do anything. If it was up to me for salvation, any religion that goes away from the Bible is going to teach you that you have to do something in order to be saved or stay saved. And Jesus Christ says, look, with men, this is impossible. There is no way. Well, you may be good a few days of your life. Maybe Gary. maybe a few seconds. There might be a few seconds there you might be able to find. Yeah, when you go to sleep, you might be innocent. I don't know. No, because then you dream. See, we're just a mess. You know what he said? It's impossible. Furthermore, all right. So. You try keeping this body alive forever. It ain't going to happen. You don't have it in you to save yourself. But thankfully, God doesn't require you to save yourself. He says, look, if you will trust me, I'll do the saving. So when these disciples, they hear about this camel going through this eye of a needle, and they're like, okay, so who gets in this thing? And he says, well, with men, it's impossible. So you won't be able to figure it out. You won't be able to find a train that goes to heaven and gives you a new body. You won't be able to create this thing. But if you'll trust me, I'll be your salvation. And so that's what it is. With men, all things, with God, all things are possible. With men, this is impossible. So he's not telling people, hey, this is how you can do better in your life and enter into the kingdom. No, he said, your entrance into the kingdom is impossible with you. With me, it's impossible. But I don't require you to make a way. I've already made a way. And if you'll accept my way, then it will be possible. It's not impossible with me. So all those things describing entrance into the kingdom around Jesus Christ. So with all that said, Then you have this group of people that Jesus Christ is now addressing who come to Jesus Christ and say, but we've done all this great stuff. What a shot at Jesus Christ. I mean, what a mark on Jesus Christ. Like, and I know you guys know this too. I said this to the family the other day. Because they'd been hurt, they heard this teaching about, you know, we've got to do good, all that stuff. If you could do good, Jesus Christ is dead in vain. There is no reason for Jesus Christ to die. What tells you salvation isn't in anything else. There's no other way to do this. All right, so he describes entrance into the kingdom of heaven, in the kingdom of God, all these things that they're overall, Christ is the king of all of this. And so now you have these people in Matthew 7 who say, yeah, but Lord, we've done some great stuff. Okay, let's go back over to Matthew 7 and look at that part of it now. Matthew 7, 21. So here, there's entrance into Jesus Christ's kingdom. It has spiritual aspects. It has physical aspects. And if you want to know the general difference between kingdom of heaven, when he says kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God, generally the difference is kingdom of heaven is physical, and generally the difference is kingdom of God is spiritual. That's the general differences. All right? But they're all the same, have the same king. Jesus Christ is the king. All right, so Matthew chapter 7, verse 22. Now here's the scary thing. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils? That's pretty extreme. Prophesied in thy name, cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. That's more extreme than a lot of people who claim to be Christians. A lot of people who claim to be Christians have never done any of these things. But these folks come to Jesus Christ and they say, we did this, we cast out devils, and we've done many wonderful works in your name. All right? This is when the door is finally shut here. And I don't know how far to go into this, just to give you a very brief explanation. When Jesus Christ returns to this earth, he will return in judgment for some, and then he will return with rewards for others, with an inheritance for others. And he will come and he will reign physically on this earth for 1,000 years. That's Revelation chapter 20. Revelation 21, all in that area. Revelation 19, 20, 21, all that. He will return and reign for 1,000 years on this earth, physically. Not spiritually, but physically reign on this earth. And when he returns, the door for this opportunity with this generation that he's talking to, with these folks he's talking to, is shut. Because he is looking for fruit and things like that, but that's something else. So the door is shut. I'm just trying to give you the time frame for this. When Jesus Christ returns, they say, when the door is shut, we prophesied in your name. We cast out devils in your name. We did many wonderful things in your name. And that shows you the extent of the deception. Remember last week, if you don't remember, I'll remind you. So we're talking about false prophets and how deceptive the devil is. He's incredibly deceptive. In fact, his strength is deception. And so if you don't accept that you can be deceived, you'll be deceived. If you don't accept that I need light from another source besides me, I need light from God in order to discern things, then you'll fall into the category of deception. But this deception goes so deep that people who are doing things, claiming the name of Jesus Christ and doing things that even average people who claim Jesus Christ don't do, when they go in and the Lord Jesus Christ returns, they think they've been in good with him because they've been using his name all along. But just like somebody who is impersonating a police officer, you've been using the name of the state, but you didn't have the authority of the state. You've been using the name of whoever, whatever authority you want to get from, you've been using that name, but the state never issued you that authority. So here's these folks, and they've been using the name of Jesus Christ to do things, and they think the things that they're doing gain them entrance into this kingdom. And Jesus Christ has said over and over, you can't do anything to enter this kingdom. You're going to have to trust in what I'm doing to enter this kingdom. Because with you, it's impossible. It's impossible. So here's these folks. Many will say, verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. How many of you have heard of Lordship salvation? Maybe a few of you. So this teaching says, if he's not Lord of everything in your life, then he's not Lord of anything in your life. And some people believe if he's not Lord of everything, then you're not saved. Some of you who have been saved a while have learned a lot of sins that you didn't know were sins when you got saved. And you've learned and you've got more light on this life of yours. And you've learned, man, I was doing this and I thought this was okay. And it's not okay. It's not good. God doesn't approve of this. But you learn that over time. And so, I mean, it would be such an arrogant thing to teach that if it's not Lord at all, he's not, or if he's not Lord of all, then he's not Lord at all. That means whoever's teaching it thinks they've arrived. That's incredible. So here's these folks who have made, they are calling Jesus Christ Lord, but they've never trusted him. You know what they're trusting in? What they just said. We've done these many things. Haven't you seen our lives compared to other people's lives? I mean, we have done marvelous things. We've cast out devils. If you look at our lives compared to other people's lives, we're top of the class. I mean, when it comes to religion and righteousness, at least in appearance, we're doing all this stuff. But they never trusted Jesus Christ because they've always trusted in what they're doing. Look, the order of salvation is this. You trust Jesus Christ, and then you do good because you've trusted Jesus Christ. And God gives you the ability to please him in this life. You get life, and then you start living life. Not you do things to get life. You can't generate it. Jesus Christ is life. So you get life, and then you start living out that eternal life. So the tragedy is many will say, we did all these things, and it's scary that these folks have probably done more than the average folks who would claim to be Christians have done. Looks like they have. But they've never trusted Jesus Christ. They don't trust God's righteousness. And they need God's righteousness to even get into this kingdom. So they don't trust. They're trusting what they're doing. If ever there was a passage in the Bible that explained and disqualified someone from salvation for their works, it's this passage right here. Because these people aren't doing bad, they're doing good things. And they're disqualified because they trust in those good things. So if ever a passage of Scripture disqualified someone from salvation for trusting in the works that they're doing, it's this. You're not going to do good and get in here. All right, so these people have been using Jesus' name without ever trusting or believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Without ever becoming children of God, without ever receiving righteousness from God, they've just been using the name, to do these things in this life. And they think because of that, that gains them entrance. And what a shock to find out that you can't get in that way. What a shock. I mean, you think that fella who was building bigger barns, some of you remember this story Jesus Christ told about the fellow who's tearing down his barns and building bigger barns, and the Lord says, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." You think it was a shock when that guy died and found out all his great business endeavors that were causing him to increase his business so much and multiply his business, and then he dies and finds out, you know what, this thing, it didn't have any effect. It didn't work. Or how about Lazarus and the rich man? When that rich man dies and goes into hell, you think that was a shock? What a shock, man. So these folks think they've been doing good, and now shocked to find out they're excluded. They're excluded from the kingdom. And I'll just say this for the sake of our crowd here and folks here. There are, I'm sure of it, there are lost, independent Baptist people who believe that because they hold a King James Bible, that they're good with God. Now, the King James Bible is God's word in English. But the Jews thought they were good with God because they had God's word too. And it didn't help them. So for the sake of, instead of saying everybody out there, you know, they're all doing this stuff, let's make it a little more personal. If your salvation is that you carry around a King James Bible, salvation is not in what you're carrying around, it's in Jesus Christ. Now what you've got, that Bible is God's word. And that's an advantage to have. But if you don't believe it, just by you carrying it and having it, that doesn't make you saved. All right, so making it a little more personal here, so we're not all talking to everybody out there and all that stuff. These folks, just the same way, they believed, they carried around the name of the Lord, but they never trusted anything about his work. They trusted in their own work, and so just like the Jews, they said, well, we have Abraham as our father. And Jesus Christ said, you're of your father the devil. I mean, the works of your father you're going to do. So back over Matthew chapter 7. Let's look at the last verse here. Do you know God's word, and I'll make this clear, the King James Bible, this book is a privilege to have. It's not a badge of righteousness. It's a privilege. It's a blessing. It's not something you hold up and say, look at me, I'm better than this other person because whatever. It's a privilege to have the Bible. It's not a badge of righteousness to have the Bible. It doesn't make you better that you have it. It can make you better if you'll let it make you better. But just holding it doesn't make you anything or make me anything. It's a privilege. It's a privilege. All right, the last thing, he says this, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 23. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So here's the answer from the king, not I knew you for a little while and then I lost touch with you. I never knew you. I don't know who you are. I don't know where you came from. So here's what can get taught from this sometimes. It's taught as like a you can lose your salvation type thing. These folks never had salvation. Jesus Christ said, I never knew you. Not I knew you and then somehow we lost contact. I never knew who you were. Never. There wasn't a point in time where I knew you and then I didn't know you. You were never converted to become a child of God. So I don't know who, you're not my child. I don't know who you are. You were never in Christ. Therefore, you were never accepted in the Beloved. You're never justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. So there was never, now I understand this is a couple years before the death, burial, and resurrection and all that stuff, but Jesus Christ is righteousness, period. They're never in Christ. They're never converted to be children of God, never accepted. Look at John chapter 10. Let me show this to you about who God knows and who God doesn't know. You could do an interesting study if people say God knows everything. Well, here's some people God doesn't know. And that's something. John chapter 10, verse 3. The shepherd knows his sheep. John chapter 10, verse 3. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. Jesus Christ is a shepherd here. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him. For they know his voice. So he doesn't drive his sheep, he walks before them. You know what he does? He leads the way. He doesn't push them in the way, he walks the way before they walk the way. But look in verse 4. When he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Look over in chapter 10, verse 14. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep. There you go. And am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. You know, the folks that come to Jesus Christ saying, we've done all this good stuff. If Jesus Christ hasn't died for you, you're not his sheep. If you're still trusting in something you do to impress God, just understand, God is not impressed. He's impressed with Jesus Christ, and that's who he's impressed with. Verse 16, he says, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. So Jesus Christ, before he becomes a man and all that stuff, he's given an instruction. He's given a commandment here, he says, where he can lay down his life and take it back up. Look in same chapter, verse 24, dealing with knowing God and who God knows and who he doesn't know. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not. That's the point. You've got to believe in Jesus Christ. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I do what? I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. So there you go. Believe Jesus Christ. God gives that soul eternal life. That soul is forever in the hands of God now. Born again, named by God, waiting for the redemption of the body, given the Spirit of God as the earnest of your inheritance. And so all of those things, none of them happen by you casting out devils. None of them happen by a person doing works of righteousness, doing wonderful works like these folks.